Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Good evening, folks. You're very welcome along to the Big Red Bench. Coming up in the next hour, reaction from Irish Independent Park as Munster secure a big and important win over the Dragons.
You know, to get a home semi-final, I think that it was something that in the last couple of weeks we've looked at as a priority. And once we got the top four, we zoned in on it. And fortunately enough, we got it.
We'll talk Premier League as Stephen Gerrard plays his final game at Anfield and Lisa gets teary-eyed. And big games locally as City make the trip to Limerick.
You know, even though we know it's a very, very tricky game, we still believe we can go there and win the match, and that's what we have to do.
Munster victory for Cork Camogie today, and we'll build up to round one of the Senior Hurling Championship.
I think Glen are going to be there again. They're probably a little bit down from last year, but that's going to probably make them more determined and hungry again this year. Douglas are a serious outfit. They have six very good forwards. You know, Middleton from 2 years ago beat us in the final.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Roaring Lisa here with you for the next hour. We have a ton of sport to get through. It's been a really exciting day. I was at Irish Independent Park for a cracking Munster win. We'll be discussing that in a bit more detail a little bit later on. Also on the show tonight, we'll talk to Cove Ramblers as they prepare for a big game tonight against Finn Harps. And we'll talk to Wilton United. The massive day for them tomorrow. They take on Cherry Orchard in the National Cup final. So all that and more to come between now and 7 p.m. before we get started. Lisa's going to round up today's action.
I'm going to start with the rugby at Irish Independent Park and the big one today, Rory, as Munster finished victors over the Dragons at 50 points to 27, meaning Munster finished second on the Guinness Pro 12 table after the regular season. Glasgow Warriors secured a 32-10 win over Ulster, while Ospreys beat Connacht 24-20 at the Sports Ground. So that means Glasgow have finished top, with Munster second, Ospreys third and Ulster fourth. Munster will now meet Ospreys at Thomond Park in the semi-final next Saturday, while Glasgow will again host Ulster in the other semi-final. In football then, Stephen Gerrard has led out Liverpool at Anfield for the final time this evening. They're hosting Crystal Palace in the late game. 32 minutes played at Anfield. It's Liverpool 1, Crystal Palace 0, and Adam Lallana with the goal in the 25th minute of action there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Stephen Gerrard!
Are you okay? Do you want to talk about it? Or
I don't know if I'm ready to talk about it. It was phenomenal. Unbelievable scenes.
No, I missed it because I was coming back from Irish Independent Park, but tell me what happened.
Well, basically, all the rest of the players came out of the tunnel and left it to Stephen Gerrard and his three beautiful daughters, and they came out onto the pitch to, obviously, an unbelievable reception. He walked around for a few moments, camera in his face, just taking it all in. Didn't get visibly emotional, but obviously, you know, it was a huge moment for him, and he shared it with his children, kept, you know, hugging them and kissing them, and, you know, it was really nice like that. Then the crowd sang "You'll Never Walk Alone," and it was just a phenomenal, poignant moment. It really was. Like, that song is powerful at the best of times, but for Stephen Gerrard's farewell, just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be even more poignant and more emotional and bittersweet when he's taken off for a few minutes to go to receive the acclaim of the crowd. So you've got that to look forward to in about an hour's time.
Okay, stop. All right, elsewhere in the Premier League, as you mentioned, Liverpool 1-0 up on Crystal Palace, 33 minutes played there. In the day's other results, Burnley and Stoke played out a scoreless draw. QPR beat Newcastle 2-1. Sunderland and Leicester finished scoreless. Tottenham Hotspur beat Hull City 2-0, and Everton beat West Ham 2-1. Southampton beat Aston Villa a massive 6-1 in the early game. Norwich are through to the Championship playoff final. Wes Houlihan got the first of a 3-1 win over East Anglian rivals Ipswich at Carrow Road. The Canaries won the tie 4-2 on aggregate and will play Middlesbrough at Wembley for a place in the Premier League a week on Monday. Cork City are away to Limerick FC in the Premier Division this evening, with kick-off there at 6:30 coming up soon. We'll have team news. Cove Ramblers hosting leaders Finn Harps at St Colman's Park from 7:45 in the First Division. In Gaelic Games, Munster Senior Camogie Championship final has ended in victory for Cork. They've beaten Tipperary a narrow 12 points to 11. They were 7 points down at half time, so strong comeback from the Rebels yet again. Rena Buckley and Breed Corkery were notable absentees in the Camogie team today. They're on football action only this evening. At 7:30, Eamon Ryan's ladies footballers meet Galway for their league final replay in Portlaoise. Round one of the Senior Hurling Club Championship gets underway this evening. The Pearshaig against Yall in Cloyne at 7 o'clock, while Bishopstown and Bride Rovers go head-to-head at Porky Rin from 7:30. In golf, Michael Howie's had a disappointing third round at the Spanish Open. A 75 has seen him drop back to 2 under par. David Howell and James Morrison are joint leaders there on 7 under after respective rounds of 69 and 68. And Rory McIlroy is just 3 off the lead heading into the weekend at the Wells Fargo Championship in North Carolina. He'll tee off from 7 under par very shortly. Webb Simpson and Robert Streb are the joint leaders at Quail Hollow on 10 under. They go out 20 minutes after McIlroy.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Lisa. Right, we will start with rugby. The semi-final lineup for this season's Guinness Pro 12 has been set. Munster will face the Ospreys next Saturday. Anthony Foley's side second in the table following a massive 50-27 bonus point win over the Dragons today at Irish Independent Park. Ospreys were 24-20 winners over Connacht at the Sports Ground. That result means Connacht finish in 7th. They'll play Gloucester in a 2-legged playoff for a place in the Champions Cup. And the other semi-final will see Ulster travel to Glasgow on Friday, a second string Ulster falling 32-10 away to the Warriors today. Now, it really was a cracking day at Irish Independent Park. 8 tries in all for the Munster men. 3 of those scored by man of the match.
Conor Murray.
There you go. And I got the reaction of Munster head coach Anthony Foley.
Get our 5 points first and foremost, and then one of the other teams to slip up didn't look likely at half time that it was going to be that side, but to get a home semi-final, I think that it was something that in the last couple of weeks we've looked at as a priority, and once we got the top 4 we zoned in on it, and fortunately enough we got it. We've said it all along, they're a very good side. They're a side that have an ability to entertain. They have a side that if you let their quality players get the ball away, then we struggle, and most teams this year have struggled against them when they allow them to play their game, and fortunately enough, for long periods we controlled the game, we controlled the tempo of it, and managed to rack up a score.
And to score 8 tries must be massively pleasing.
Yeah, I think in the manner of it, I think the boys stayed in task for long periods of the game and made sure that any time they threw something at us, we hit them with something back, So they came over to throw the ball around and make it difficult for us. And, they managed to do that on a couple of occasions. But I think all in all, we'd be satisfied with the result.
And Conor Murray's always a good man to pop up at 1, but to pop up at 3 today.
Yeah, look, he's a sniper there at the base, and if somebody steps out, he'll step in, So it's important that, he's a quality player. We can't say enough good things about Conor Murray, but he was also aided with a good forward pack in front of him to make sure that they give him good go forward ball.
And it is a home semi final. How much of a help is the Thomond Park crowd going to be next Saturday?
Yeah, we're hoping that it'll be a sellout in Thomond Park next weekend. I think that's important. We've worked down hard to get a game at home, and we've been small but fortunate in getting it there. But with that, we need to kick on and make sure that it's sold out.
And the Ospreys as well. What's your analysis of them?
Yeah, they've done us twice this year, so it's important that we. We don't overhype it. We make sure we get our work done off the pitch, and the boys will be properly catered on the pitch, and we gotta get a result. It doesn't matter how the result comes by, we gotta win the game next Saturday.
And finally, Irish Independent Park's been fantastic this season. We've got a great crowd tonight.
Yeah, brilliant. I think we've played here 4 times now, is it 4? We're 4 from 4, so we'll take playing here any day of the week.
Best of luck next week.
Thank you.
That's Munster head coach Anthony Foley there speaking to me at the full time whistle today. He sounds happy. It's hard to tell when he's happy or when he's not. Anthony Foley doesn't give much away in those post match interviews, but he's happy with his side's work today. The job was to go out and get a bonus point win. They went out and got 4 tries early on today, so they had their job done early. Continued that vein of form in the second half, and it started with a bang with that fantastic try from Keith Earls. But absolutely fantastic performance today.
Yeah, for a finish, it was just about watching results elsewhere to see who they were going to meet in the, because for a time they were top of the table and it was going to be Ulster. Then that changed when Glasgow got their bonus point try, and then it was watching whether Ospreys could go and get the 4th try against Connacht. So that was the only variable there towards the second half of that match. But no, great stuff having home semi-final. I mentioned to you earlier on today, in 6 years, I think, a side playing away haven't won a Pro 12 semi-final. So that'll tell you how important home advantage is. Now, Ospreys have beaten Munster 19-14 when they played back in September at Thomond Park. But we all remember how that was, you know, the start of the season for Munster was kind of very up and down. So we'll hope that, you know, moving on from today, it'll be, you know, good news next
and
week.
As we know, knockout rugby, Munster just transform into a different beast
and
altogether.
Thomond Park, I hope it can be that fortress it has been. It hasn't really this season, but hopefully next week we'll attract a really good crowd in Limerick, and it'll be brilliant.
A great crowd today as well in Irish Independent Park. The stand was full, the opposite stand was full, the terraces were full, and there was just a really great buzz.
It's a brilliant venue. It really is.
Big game atmosphere around the place today. We had the big red bus down there as well, and with a lot of people coming up to us, and it was just really, really enjoyable.
No, it's, in fairness now, the redevelopment is excellent. It's a very intimate venue for matches like this, you know. You feel like the place is full, and you're so close to the pitch and the action. It's brilliant.
Now, after the game, I got a chance to speak to former Munster player John O'Neill.
Yeah, 23 minutes, 4 tries. I think Anthony would be very happy. No injuries and a home semi-final.
Yeah, it was a fantastic performance, and Anthony really had them fired up from the get-go. He's obviously said, look, go up and get the bonus point and get it secured very quickly.
Yeah, well, the worry was they chased the 4 tries and it actually came through, but set pieces, line-outs, scrums and defence all did very well.
It's a home semi-final, which is what they wanted at the start.
Yeah, history will tell you. There is a home semi-final that actually brings you through to the final. So I think Anthony will be looking forward to that, and he'll give the guys a good break before coming in and getting prepared for the final.
Yeah, and it's the Ospreys now that they will play in the semi-final. What have you made of them this year?
Ospreys are very good. It'll be difficult. But Thomond is Thomond, you know, and the Irish Independent Park has been very good to us here in Cork. But Thomond, it'll be very hard to beat the lads above in Thomond, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fired up and ready for that. Overall, what would your summation of Munster season be?
It's mixed. It's been a mixed season. It'd be great not to finish off with a silverware. It's been a long campaign, but if you can get a good win next weekend, I suppose we can look forward to it for the end of the month.
I suppose the biggest one was, I suppose, the European disappointment.
It was difficult. I mean, you have the heights of the French teams, and we've one or two bad decisions when it went against us in the group stages. But listen, we're young. Some of the young guys are coming through. You have Jack Donohue, so and they're all getting big experience. So over the next season, 2 seasons, I think Munster should be back where they were, you know.
In a very interesting year for Anthony Foley as well, a real baptism of fire for him.
This year I think he's doing exceptionally well. Last year I think he was just finding his feet. This year he's really kind of put in his own patterns, his own set pieces, and they've really come out and produced some great wins just to get the overall consistency, I think. And hopefully next year that'll come true.
Paul O'Connell scoring a try just on half time. A lot of talk that he won't be here next season. What do you think?
Yeah, it's something that's flying around, but listen, it was great. Paul played exceptionally well for the 18 minutes and still doing it. Like, he doesn't know anything to anyone, and you know, for young Munster or even Munster Ireland, but I think Paulie will know where he's going next season. And listen, if he does move, listen, we wish him the very best, but we'd love to see him here, you know.
Yeah, those Toulon rumours just won't go away. It would be heartbreaking to see him leave, wouldn't it?
No, I don't think they will go away, but listen, I think Paulie's goal is just next week, semi-final. They look hopefully into the future, and then maybe the World Cup, and after that then Paulie will make a decision.
How big is the Thomond Park factor going to be next week?
It's huge. Here in the Irish Independent, the Cork supporters have always been very good, but when you get to Thomond, you get to semi-final, you're down to cover rugby, and that's what Munster do at their best. So a huge support. Hopefully the few injuries are back, and Anthony will have a full pick of the squad, and hopefully we can go on to a final.
And Thomond Park has been a fantastic facility for Munster over the years, but Irish Independent Park with the new stands, everything is just fantastic here.
No, it looks great, isn't it? And there was a great atmosphere. Yes, I know it made it easier for us for the first 25 minutes when we scored the 4 tries, but certainly it looks fantastic, you know.
John, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
That's John O'Neill there, former Munster player, talking to me after the game. And that was with thanks to Irish Independent Park, getting closer to rugby. Epic stories start here. Right, Palace have just equalised against Liverpool. They obviously haven't read the Steven Gerrard is leaving script.
So inconsiderate.
How dare they? How very, very dare they?
Sportsmen. What sort of sportsmen are they?
I know, yeah. So it's Liverpool 1, Crystal Palace 0. And that game just approaching half time there. All right, going to move from rugby and a fantastic day we did have at Irish Independent Park today. And thankfully, Munster have gotten that home semi-final to look forward to next Saturday. We're going to talk Cork City looking to make it 3 wins in 8 days tonight. The Rebel Army heading to Jetman Park for a Munster derby with rivals Limerick kicking off in 15 minutes time. We spoke to boss John Caulfield ahead of the game.
Last Friday it's going to be 5 games in 12 days, I think, or 5 games in 14 days, which is very tough. So look, at the plus is that we've had 2 home games and we've had 2 wins, you know, after going through dropping a few points. It was important for us to bounce back, and so it was very important to get the 6 points under our belt. Obviously we're going to Limerick, which is difficult from the point of view that, you know, they've taken home draws off Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk, and it's a difficult surface and venue, so, you know, we know what we have to do. But at the same time, I suppose any time you have 3 games in a week is always difficult. I keep saying to our own supporters, always enjoy the wins. Mm-hmm. And the real supporters, as I keep stressing, are absolutely delighted with us. And, you know, we scored in every home match last season, which no other team did. We've scored in all our home matches this year. But it was nice, you know, to send the crowd home. You know, we were 1-0 down at half time, hadn't played well, and we knew that. But we came out the second half, and it was obviously nice to get 4 goals. And but I think our crowd are realistic. You know, we all want to win. And, you know, I think any night they go out the gate after a victory, I think they're happy, and that's the most important thing for me.
Are Rob and Danny close to pushing for starts at this stage of the day?
Well, they are, but I suppose the fact that Shep and Mac have started scoring has probably kept them on the bench. But as I keep saying, you know, they're 2 different type of players. Danny's been out for all last year. It's taken him a good while to get back, but I think, you know, we've seen at training, he's very, very sharp. We're hoping he's back to where he was 2 seasons ago. And I just feel coming on in the matches, if he can get one, he might want to run. But at the minute, it's great that Mark and Shep have been doing so well, because, you know, we need all our strikers scoring, and you know, I suppose the lads on the bench have to just be a little bit patient if the lads up front are doing the business, and that's where it's at the moment.
And after scoring 4 goals on Monday, 3 goals on Friday, confidence must be very high, and there must be a great buzz around training this week.
Yeah, I keep saying, fantastic bunch of players here, really great attitude, you know, pleasure for me to come in every day, manage them, really train hard, want to do the right thing. We were gutted over that bad week we had, and the players wanted to bounce back, and we refocused last week, and, you know, it was a pleasure to beat Sligo 3-2 after they came back from 2-0, because we'd really played very well and had opportunities to put away, which we hadn't, but still to have that character to come back and get the winning goal. And obviously then against Drogheda the last night to score 4, so to get 7 in our last 2 home games is pleasing. There is confidence there, but no one's getting carried away. We know it's very, very difficult. You take each game on its merits, and well, you know, if we keep our feet in the ground and approach it 1 game at a time, then we have an opportunity that we can stay in there right to the end, and that's what we're intending to do.
And Limerick, as you mentioned, never an easy place to go. How impressed with them have you been this season?
Their potential is massive. I suppose from Martin's point of view, he probably lacks a bit of experience, but at the same time, you know, Williams, Price, Duggan, O'Connor, they've been around a long time, and, you know, the one thing they've probably learned that they took a difficult start, took a few hammers at the start, but all of a sudden you can see in the last 2 months they begin to get good results. And he's been saying it himself that he feels he's only 1 win around the corner to kick them off, so, and it's so tight at the bottom, he knows one win will get them off the bottom as well. So we know how difficult it is, we know their team inside out, but at the same time, you know, we've ambitions this year to stay in the top, near the top, and are at the top, and that's what we're intending to do. So, you know, even though we know it's a very, very tricky game, we still believe we can go there and win the match, and that's what we have to do.
And because it's your closest away game as well, you'll be hoping a large crowd could head up from Cork.
Well, usually in Limerick we always do get a very big support, and hopefully that will happen. Being our nearest game, I'm unsure, because when you hop on the dual carriage way here, you're nearly in Tallaght as quick as you'll be in Limerick, but that's just the way the road system is. But yeah, it's, you know, we've always had great support in Limerick, and it's a Saturday evening, so hopefully, you know, our supporters come in big numbers, because we need them. I keep saying every week, you know, they're the 12th man to us, and we need them to keep hanging in there. And I mean, even the other night at half time, cut out for the second half, straight away they realised we were in trouble and got behind us. So yeah, I'm appealing to as many people as possible to get to Limerick on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's Cork City boss John Caulfield speaking ahead of tonight's clash with Limerick. That's getting underway in 10 minutes time. Now, it's also a massive night for Cove Ramblers as they welcome the league leaders Finn Harps to St Comyn's Park for a 7:45 start. Ahead of the game, I spoke to boss Stephen Henderson.
It's a huge game. You know, we've been very happy with our progression over the last few months and what have you. So Finn Harps are top of the league. They're most likely going to win the league. Their tails will be up after Wexford Youths getting beaten last night, so they'll see this as an opportunity to move further away from them. So it's going to be a really tough proposition for what we have as a very young squad, but it's something that we're looking forward to, and that's the truth, Rory. When you get these games, this is what we look for. We want to play against the best teams. We want to test ourselves against the best players, the best managers. We want a crowd there to support us, please God, because we're going to need every bit of help we can get against this lot.
Yeah, you said to me last week when you played Wexford Youth that you weren't too far away from almost getting there, and playing against Finn Harps is a real chance to kind of test yourselves and really see where you're at.
Well, it is, but not only that, Rory. We look at it in terms of our training as well. How is our training improving? And I can put my hand on my heart and say that this week has probably been the best I've seen our players train in terms of the intensity in the matches, the running we were doing, the small-sided games we were playing. They were absolutely sensational. So if we can transfer that kind of commitment and energy and cleverness onto the pitch against Finn Harps, then we'll give them a really good game today. And it will really put us in a position to see where we are at this particular moment in time against a team that will be playing Premier Division football next year by the looks of it.
So I'd imagine that there's massive buzz in the camp heading into this game tonight.
Yeah, like I said, Rory, you kind of sensed against Wexford last week in training, there was a little bit of nervousness about it, there was trepidation. And that's how we started the match. You know, when we looked around the dressing room, you have to remember we have teenagers in that dressing room who are coming up, and, you know, we went on a run there of winning games, and they're expected to win games. How did they react to that? And there was a nervousness against Wexford. And again, I can put my hand on my heart and say we didn't see that this week. What we've seen this week was a real desire, you know, a real energy about us. There was disappointment losing to Wexford. We knew we should have got something out of the game. This week we really focus on the positives of that. The players, not one of them looked nervous last night. Not Thursday, not Tuesday. There was a real sense of drive and determination to go out here and do ourselves proud and do the club proud. So hopefully we can transfer that onto the pitch tonight.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, getting a big crowd tonight would be a massive boost and a huge help for you.
Well, it is, because I think people have to understand that when they come to watch a game of football, their energy transfers onto the players. You know, we need a crowd. Like, I keep going on with our young side and what have you, but they really do need that 12th man in the crowd. When they get behind these kids, it gives them a boost. It gives them that extra bit of petrol in the tank to push on and do things they probably wouldn't normally do. It's the encouragement that comes from them. But it's shown that they're not alone, that they're doing it for a cause. They're doing it for these people who pay their money to come in the gate. Okay, we will run ourselves into the ground for these people, whether there's 50 of them there, whether there's 100 of them there or 1,000 of them there. That's the way these players work. But, you know, sometimes when there's not many there and you're putting that effort in, you know, it can get you down a bit. But if we got a crowd there tonight, Rory, and they got behind us and they pushed us you know, we could shock this Harps team tonight. And that's what we're trying to do. So please, if there's anybody there listening and you've nothing to do tonight, just come out and give these kids a helping hand, because if anybody in League of Ireland football deserves to be supported, will be this group of young amateur footballers.
And as that saying goes, nothing beats being there.
Nothing beats being there, you know, and that's the truth, Rory. That's a great saying. They're absolutely, the atmosphere in the grounds has picked up great over the last few weeks, and you just get the sense that we got a few more people in the gate. You know, it will rub off onto the players. The match day experience becomes more enjoyable for the supporters if they get really involved in the game, by shouting, by screaming, by getting behind us. Be there, enjoy it, and hopefully you can come back again.
Excellent, Stephen. Well, best luck tonight against Harps, and fingers crossed you get a 3 points and a big crowd tonight.
Rory, thanks a million, and thanks for helping us out as well, pal. Much appreciated.
That's Cove Ramblers boss Stephen Henderson there. And if you're in Cove, you're thinking what to do tonight, sun is shining, 7.45 is the kickoff time for that game against the leaders Finn Harps. Steve reckons they're not too far off challenging the likes of Finn Harps. They had a narrow defeat to Wexford last week, but he was pleased with their performance. Fingers crossed Ramblers can get a result tonight and a big crowd down to St. Coleman's Park, because they've put a lot of effort in there. A very young team who are starting to gel, so big things could be happening down in St. Commons Park. 7.45 is the kickoff time for that game. Still to come on the show, we're going to talk to Eamon Ryan on the show a little bit later on. We're also going to look ahead to Wilton United's National Cup final against Cherry Orchard tomorrow. I'm going to speak to their manager Brendan O'Sullivan. We'll have a senior hurling club championship preview, and we'll talk to Paddy Murray as well, all between now and 7 on the pitch.
The Big Red Bench.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench. Rory and Lisa here with you until 7 p.m. If you want to get in touch, 086 8104 106. Let's come on the show. We're going to hear from Eamon Ryan very shortly, and we're going to hear from at Wilton United ahead of their National Cup final tomorrow. But joining us on the line is Cork Camogie boss Paddy Murray. Three in a row now, Cork are Munster champions. And Paddy, you have to like the sound of that.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be very happy with the outcome, really. That you know, we were under a lot of pressure there for a lot of the games, so great to come out with a win eventually.
An 8-point turnaround, talk us through it.
Yeah, look, there was a gale force win there, so Chip won the toss and went to play with it, and they put up, I suppose, it was a 10-3 at half-time, so, you know, we had a fair job to clock back.
And like you spoke going into the match about how Tipperary had these young players coming up through. So, you know, okay, actually, maybe first I'll ask you about the side you put out today, because obviously we talked in the preview about the fact that Breed and Rena weren't available to you. So what changes did you make?
Yeah, we brought in Finola Neville midfield and Orla Cronin to wing forward. So, you know, I think we had 7 girls experiencing their first Munster final. So, you know, it was quite a young team, really, you know.
And did that change up things in terms of your challenge? And was that a factor in being 7 points down at halftime?
I wouldn't think so. I think the biggest problem in the first half was we had certainly 2 very good opportunities of goals and we didn't take them. And, you know, playing against the wind, you got it. You know, you had to at least take one of those. So, you know, I just thought our finishing was a bit poor, and use of the ball, maybe in around our half forward line, was poor as well, you know, which then the minute the ball was turned over, they were able to move it down the field very, very quickly with the wind.
And how important is this victory given the league final loss?
Yeah, look, the league final didn't mean anything. Look, the way I suppose we were talking about this game is that it's championship from now on, so it was very important to win it. I think we showed very good character. We were down 7 points at half time, you know, playing up here in Tipperary with a big Tipperary following. So I think we certainly showed a lot of character. There's no doubt that we have a lot of work to do. I think we're playing Galway in 4 weeks' time. So, you know, we have a lot of fine-tuning to do, really. But it's good to know that. It's just a case now getting it done.
This is it. I was going to say it must have been another big learning curve with all the different factors in terms of players missing. An opposition maybe that you wouldn't know as well now because they're quite young.
No, but one thing we always know with Tipperary, we've always got it, tough. None of these games have ever been, I think in the last 3 or 4 years, you're looking at 3 or 4 points between them, so we knew it was going to be tight. I suppose I did take a chance leaving the girls, Breach and Rena, go playing football, but I wanted it tight in another way, because I suppose my view is that's what you find out what your players are made of, really, you know. So look, overall, I must be very happy.
Indeed, yeah. And now as you look forward to the All-Ireland Championship, I mean, do the girls get a night off now tonight for the weekend maybe and then get back to, or how does championship preparation change?
Oh no, we look, we're everything in championship mode now. We're back on Monday night, so look, we've an awful lot of work to do. We've got a very tough group, so you know, our main goal now is just to qualify for the quarter final, and I think that'll be a tough enough task.
Good stuff. All right, well, Paddy, yeah, enjoy whatever celebrations you allow anyway after your Munster Championship success, and thanks for speaking to us.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Paddy. That's Paddy Murray there, Cork Camogie boss, speaking after making a three in a row of Munster Championship titles when they defeated Tipperary in Cashel earlier on today. Now, Eamon Ryan's ladies footballers meet in Galway for their league final replay. That is in Portlaoise. A 7:30 throw in there, and Lisa spoke to Eamon in the build up to the game.
The Camogie manager, Paddy Murray, you know, told us that we could have the two girls, so that was a huge boost. So we're ready for road now.
And how did you feel about last week's draw, first of all, or the draw against Galway, Eamon?
Well, I suppose the first thing I have to say, I wasn't surprised by Galway's performance. They should have beaten us in the league. We were lucky to win by a point. It was an excellent game last Saturday. It was a brilliant game. Could have gone either way. I thought at one stage, after 10 minutes of the second half, that they were beginning to move away from us, but with 6 or 7 minutes to go, then I thought when we went 2 points up that we'd surely hold on, you know. So it was that type of game, and I think a draw was a good result in the end.
Yeah,
obviously we'd love to have won, but I think it was a fair result.
Yeah, and I mean, when you came away from it, you're lucky you got the draw, but did you feel like that there was more in you, or that, you know?
Well, I don't know. People are saying that, are you? I don't know where that's coming from. We'd probably improve a little bit, but you wouldn't improve all that much in 1 week, you know? I think it'll still be very, very close on Saturday. It could be 1 or 2 points either way, you know?
Yeah. Their forward play very impressive in particular.
Oh, yeah. They were very good. They were I mean, that's their strength, you see. They have a lot of players who've been there a good few years, but the new people they've got seem to be all in the forwards. Or most of them, you know, they've 3 or 4 people who are only 19 or 20 or 21 in the forward line, and they're exceptionally good footballers. I think they were on the minor All-Ireland winning team a year or two ago, so yeah, we've plenty to do with them.
And alright, if you can find more performance wise on last week, maybe did you learn a little bit more there that you can control from the sideline in terms of how you approach different individuals in the Galway threats?
Well, I suppose if we can improve some small bit, and you know, to have 1 or 2 marquee forwards that we'd hope to maybe contain a little bit better this weekend, but you know, it's conjecture, like, really, because the smallest thing can swing a game when the teams are evenly matched, you know. We're up for the game, and I think the players are very anxious to get on with it, which is always a good sign. I couldn't see it being anything but a very close game, yeah.
Yeah, we hope so. It was very entertaining the last day.
It was.
Heading into the game as well, then, Eamon, have you any new injuries now or anything like that?
No, I think we're fine. We had 1 or 2 niggles, all right, but they're okay. Geraldine Flynn and Roisin Sullivan had niggles, but they'll be okay.
Oh, good stuff. All right, well, the very best of luck to you, Eamon.
Thanks, Lisa.
That's Eamon Ryan there speaking ahead of their game tonight, 7:30, their league final replay, taking on Galway in Portlaoise. And we were just chatting off air that, like, just the set of circumstances weren't foreseen from the start, with Cork getting to the Munster final and a replay for the league final for Cork. So it's just unfortunate that two players, I suppose, had to choose, or were made to choose, or had to miss one game.
Rena and Breed missed the Camogie today. Maeve Callaghan misses the football this evening. Maeve stuck with the Camogie today. Rena and Breed then went to the football this evening. 3 Cork dual players. Yeah, it's disappointing. Paddy Murray suggested, speaking to me yesterday, that he thought that maybe the associations expected that the players could play both matches. Like, it was...
They could never.
It was feasible in terms of logistics, in terms of, you know, they literally would have had to hop from into the car after the Camogie match straight to Portlaoise and would have made it. But I mean, physically and mentally, how you...
They would have been shattered.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing about it is, I think these players actually would have done it, because...
That's just the kind of people they are. Get on with it. Like, but it's not fair on them.
It's not fair at all. And I think, you know, it's at this time of the year, it might go unnoticed. The fact that the Camogie team won today without Breach and Rena would probably mean it won't be as big an issue, but if it happened later in the year,
yeah,
you know, if there was another draw at some stage which meant another fixture clash, I think it would be a much bigger deal when you have 2 reigning All-Ireland champions trying to defend their title. But we'll hope that there'll be lessons learnt in this situation and it won't happen again later in the year. So we won't make a mountain out of a molehill at this stage, but in the fairness to players and everything, I really hope it doesn't happen again.
Fingers crossed. 7:30 the start time for that league final tonight anyway. Cork taking on Galway, Lisa's beloved Galway, excuse me, and we will have a reaction on that game on tomorrow evening. evening's show. Right, we're going to talk schoolboys football. Before that, just an update from Anfield. Liverpool and Palace still level at a goal apiece in the Stevie G farewell to Anfield hour. Alright, it's a massive day for Wilton United tomorrow. The Cork side heading to Dublin to take on Cherry Orchard in the National Cup final tomorrow afternoon. That kicks off at 2 p.m. The very best of luck indeed to Wilton United from everybody here at Cork's Red FM. Their manager is Brendan O'Sullivan. He called into me for a chat earlier on today and I asked them to ascertain the danger that Cherry Orchard will pose tomorrow.
Cherry Orchard, we know, are very, very strong. They're second in the DDSL presently. Only St. Kevin's Boys, who were renowned as being the best club in the country at schoolboys level for many, many years. They continuously produce Irish internationals and players that make it across the water. But Cherry Orchard are equally as strong. I've got very good reports on them from Carrigaline and Corinthians, two teams that we play on a weekly basis here in the Premier League and the CSL. And they played them in the last 16 and the last 8, respectively. And the reports are very conclusive in the format that they play. I've seen them myself once as well. We know what to expect from them and we've prepared. We know that they're very physical, they're very big, they're very fast and strong. But we feel that if we get amongst them, we've got the players with the quality. We've got quality in our side. Quality, I believe, that has gone unrecognised maybe on the international level, and maybe that's a sign of not playing in Dublin. But we've got players now that can't go unnoticed any longer. And I think that they will come to the fore again on Sunday.
And speaking of the players, it must be a massively exciting week for them. The buzz must be incredible in training, and trying to rein that in ahead of Sunday must have been kind of difficult.
Well, this is it. It's all about the players. It's the players who have done this. I'm a guy who stands on the line. I try to encourage them, but this is about the players. The players have done this. Our strength always has been our togetherness and our hard work, and added to that the quality that I speak of, because these lads, 9 of our 17 man squad have been together since under 7. That is our strength. There's no team, certainly that I'm aware of, that can match that in terms of togetherness and quality. And of that 9, they would all be starters. So of our starting team, you could say we've been together for the bones of 10 years. I've been with them all that stage and continually encouraged them. For a few years, I suppose, there was the normal inferiority complex when it came to the Dublin teams, and we always wanted to challenge them. 2 years ago we played Shelburne and we beat them, and that gave us great confidence. But this year, going to Dublin was our first time going and playing DDSL teams, and to go and beat Mountview and to go and beat St. Joseph's Boys up in Dublin with all their Irish internationals and their great history gave our lads a real confidence. It really made them step up a gear in terms of belief in their own ability and how far they can go in the game.
Tomorrow will be a bit bittersweet for you because it's your last game in charge of the club.
It's my last game with this group of players for Wilton United, yes. I've been there for 10 years. It was always at the back of my mind to finish at the end. It was a natural end coming to the end of the Schoolboys League cycle. As I say a minute ago, I've been with them for 10 years. It's been a long journey. We've done an awful lot together. We've had a lot of success together. But an opportunity was presented to move on and to continue on at the age group, two under 17s with Cork City, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity that was too good to turn down for me personally. I'm an ambitious coach. I'm currently on the UEFA B license, and a move to Cork City was a perfect fit for me. I'm going in as assistant manager to Paul Boudrin, who's got an abundance of experience and real quality and has won a vast amount of trophies over the last 10 to 15 years with Cork City at various age groups, from 17s to 19s. He was the manager in the 19s last year. I'm looking forward to learning from him and to growing as a coach and developing. A couple of the players will be coming with me from Wilton, from other schoolboys clubs who I've known over all the years that we've been at this age group. And I'm looking forward to the challenge. I've been trying to promote and encourage my boys for years, and I feel that this is a natural progression for them. You know, if they started playing well a few years ago, they made the Cork team. If they made the Cork team, they got on the Kennedy Cup squad. From there, they progressed on to the Emerging Talent Programme. But at the end of it now, the end of schoolboy cycle, it can come to a dead end, or you can move on and upwards. And this National League for the under-17s now is a great opportunity for the elite players to move on and play at a League of Ireland level and hopefully continue on into the 19s and into the first team in the League of Ireland and further afield after that if they put in the effort.
Yeah, we'll certainly be keeping track of the under-17s progress this season. Finally, I'd imagine a big crowd from Wilton heading up tomorrow.
Huge crowd, yeah. I'd like to pay special thanks to our club chairman and president and founder, Pat Bowden, who they've put in a great effort to galvanise the troops to support tomorrow. There's a bus going from Dino's car park in Bishopstown. We're expecting about 150 people from the club.
Brilliant.
To attend and support. It's a big day for the club, as I say, with the first National Cup final, and a big day for the team too. They've put in 10 years, I say, we've put into getting to this stage, and we're all looking forward to it. And we just think that if we put in the effort that we've put in previous games, we'll have a very good chance.
Excellent stuff. Well, Brendan, we wish you the very best of luck tomorrow, and fingers crossed we'll be talking about a win for Wilton tomorrow evening on tomorrow evening's show. But Brendan, best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Rory.
That's Wilton United boss Brendan O'Sullivan there taking his under-16 Wilton United side to take on Cherry Orchard in the National Cup final tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock kickoff up in Dublin. Fingers crossed that Wilton can get the job done. They would absolutely positively deserve it. They've been working very, very hard, as Brendan said, and all of Cork is behind them today, so fingers crossed Wilton can get a result. Alright, there's an hour gone at Anfield, or just coming up on an hour. Still Liverpool 1, Crystal Palace 1, Adam Lallana putting Liverpool ahead before Jason Puncheon scored just before half time. Right, going to talk hurling, and the Cork Senior Hurling Club Championship gets underway this weekend. Sarsfield's beginning the defence of their title with an opening round clash against Newtown Chandram in Fermoy tomorrow. We've spoken to Sars captain Owen Quigley ahead of the new campaign.
Newtown Chandram are a serious bogey team for Sarsfield's Bedison County Final. They bet us in 2011 in Fermoy. They'll raise their game for us, we've no doubt about that, but our aim is to win the Cork County Championship, and you know, we're going to train hard and try and retain it.
And learning from last year too, I imagine, not looking past the first round where you got caught last year.
Yeah, that's it. Douglas caught us last year here in Parky Ring, and you know, maybe Sarah's approach championship a little bit differently. I don't think we're ever peaking at this time of year, but for this occasion against Newtown, you know, we'll have to try and peak because it's going to be such a difficult match. And saying that, we didn't perform great against Carrickdown either in Parky Cueve. They could have best, we only beat them by a point. So, you know, we struggled through the start of the championship last year, and then we started getting a bit of momentum, and we went on and had a good finish, beating the Pearshig and beating the Glen. This year we're really focusing on Newtown Chandram. As far as we're concerned, if we have ourselves right, we'll have a good chance of winning it again.
I've spoken to a lot of clubs here tonight at the championship launch, and they're all saying the first team you look at when it comes to championship honours, but who would you consider the challengers?
Well, sure, it's the same. The Glen are going to be there again. They're probably a little bit down from last year, but that's going to probably make them more determined and hungry again this year. Douglas are a serious outfit. They have six very good forwards. You know, Middleton from 2 years ago beat us in the final, and I know they're going well. So, you know, Newtown Chandram will put it up to us as well, and you know, they could find themselves fairly far in the competition too as the year goes on. So, and there's more, but they'd be the kind of teams I think will be definitely thereabouts at the end.
Are you talking a lot about the back to back, or is that something that's figuring, or, you know, because it's the one thing, as you mentioned, you haven't done?
No, to be honest, I said the only time that there's ever a conversation about back to back is when the media or outside clubs mention it to us. In training and that, you'd never hear of that comment coming, and lads honestly aren't even thinking about it. They're just getting on with training, and to be honest, training is quite hard at the moment. We don't have time to be thinking about back to backs. And as I said, it's only the first round coming up against Newtown Chandram. They bet us in 2011, so realistically we can't focus on anything but that, and they'll enjoy going up to Fermoy probably more so than we will, so it's going to be a huge battle up there for us.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that's Newtown, or Sarsfield's captain, excuse me, Owen Quigley, speaking ahead of their game against Newtown in Fermoy tomorrow. It's underway at 4:15 as part of a doubleheader in the opening game, Ballyhay marking their return to the senior ranks after 12 years by taking on Blackrock from 2:30. And we spoke to their captain, Maurice O'Sullivan. But before we do that, Lisa.
Not impressed.
What's going on at Anfield, Lisa?
Not impressed. I'm glad there was no microphones open when that goal was scored. Crystal Palace have just gone 2-1 up on Liverpool.
Wilfried Zaha certainly not reading the script.
Offside. He was offside.
He wasn't offside.
Okay. I'm disgusted with that defensive effort. I really am.
Right, it's still a half an hour for
it was awful.
The Stevie G farewell match to have a happy ending there at Anfield. But yeah, Ballyhay captain is Maurice O'Sullivan speaking ahead of their game at Blackrock tomorrow.
I think the speed probably upped a small bit, and I suppose you're punished that bit quicker than you would be at Premier Intermediate. I'd say they're the big two challenges that we face coming up.
And performance and results wise, how has the league gone?
Mixed bag, I suppose. I think we're in the top 6 or 7 at the moment, so I suppose if you had said that to us at the start of the year, we've only lost one, so we're happy enough with that.
Blackrock in the first round, how did you respond to that draw?
Look, they're a club with great tradition. I suppose we have good tradition too in our own club, but we'll give them the respect that they deserve. They've had a good couple of years in terms of under 21 success, and a lot of those lads are coming through now. So look, we're looking forward to the challenge that's going to present, but they'll look forward to that too.
Mm. How much has your panel changed since last year?
I think there's two or three fellas gone now. We've had a couple of long-term injuries and that, but no, we're nearly full strength. Our manager Jimmy Quilty left, all right, but Clem Smith is in instead of him, and everything else remains the same.
Clem, I imagine, has brought great experience, managerial experience from Limerick and everything. But what's the change, or what's the difference you can see in him?
We've tried to keep a lot of continuity in everything that we're doing. I suppose Clem wears his heart on his sleeve, and like I suppose the same way as he was when he was a player. You know, he's a tough old nut, so he mightn't like me saying that now, but. He brings that small bit of steel to the whole setup, but look, in terms of organisation and everything has remained the same, and you know he's on board with that, and it's fantastic.
That bit of steel, that extra intensity, even more so in training, you kind of have to see that when you come up to the senior grade. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah, I think you're right. Look, you know, you might get away with it at Premier Intermediate level, but I think it. Senior level, you are punished a lot quicker. So if you're not focused and you're not tuned in from the start, then you're going to be punished for it. So we just need to make sure that every day we go out that we're at the top of our game and that we're focused all the time.
It's always brilliant to be crowned champions, Premier Intermediate champions in 2014, but the biggest carrot was to play senior hurling this year. And you come into a championship that, you know, there's 6, 7, 8 teams that can compete for this title. It's, you know, competitive from start to finish.
Absolutely, and look, it presents a total different opportunity for us, and that's the way you look at it. There's no point in going up there and being in awe of the whole situation. You know, you have the opportunity, as you said, to compete with those 6 or 7 or 8 teams, you know, on any given day. Any one of those teams above there could annihilate you if you're not tuned in. So look, we'll be focusing on ourselves and making sure that everything that we can control, we will control, and we won't be found wanting then.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. It's Ballyhay captain Maurice O'Sullivan. They take on Blackrock tomorrow with 2:30 start. So Liverpool 1, Crystal Palace 2, 63 minutes on the clock. And Cork City away to Limerick, scoreless there after 20 minutes. And apparently chances few and far between at Jackman.
Stevie G just got an unbelievable chance.
Yeah.
Ball out from Sterling, yeah. Just outside the box, but no.
That would be the fairy tale ending, wouldn't it? It would be the
equaliser
on top.
Yeah.
If he could somehow get a goal, but Lucas is coming on here for Liverpool. I don't think Jared's going to be taken off. He certainly isn't. A bit too early for him yet. Right. Also, the other game tomorrow, pitting Middleton against Killa. That's in Castlemartyr at 3:30, a cracking derby as well between these two sides. 2013 champions Middleton are managed by Jerry Wallace this year, who's spoken to us about their opening round draw.
I couldn't understand that when I heard that, the perceived easier draw. I think, like, Killa are the favourites in my eyes. Killa got beaten by Middleton last year in the championship. You know, Killa then went on their journey in the championship, we went on our journey in the championship. As far as I'm concerned, we're the underdogs here, because Killa are coming, you know, wanting to take a big scalp. They're coming, they're going to give it full on to us on the day. They're a very progressive club at juvenile and at adult level. they know that they'll sense an opportunity. It's a local derby. I mean, if you're watching Manchester City, Man United, if you're watching any of these clubs in the other games, you know, they take on a life of their own. Local derbies are not easy ones to predict. But we'll guard against it. We know that we're the underdogs at this moment in time, and we're looking forward to the 17th of May.
Right. And Jerry, what have you brought to the Middleton preparations this year, do you think? Or how receptive have the group been to your preparations and what you've brought?
I just think the group, you know, they respect my involvement in I have a huge, I have a long-term involvement in the GAA, in preparing teams. I suppose this is a new venture for me because it's back in club hurling. I haven't been at home in Cork for maybe 7 years, I think. And you know, the players to date and the, you know, the people around the club have been very receptive towards it, like, you know, and demanding, which you would expect of them. You know, they're looking to achieve something as well, like. I'm enjoying it myself, you know. I think it's a great venture to be back in Cork hurling again. I'm enjoying meeting, you know, old acquaintances when we play the senior hurling league matches. I no doubt I'll be meeting, I met Joe Dean recently, like, and Joe's coming out of retirement especially for the 17th of May. So looking forward to it. Like, I suppose I have a vast amount of experience, you know, having managed at inter-county level and having been involved at inter-county level in other counties and within my own county here. So, like, I'm just, I suppose, a guiding light for these young fellas and maybe a bit of stability for them. So,
now, Jerry, you describe Killa as the favourites. You don't want to look past the first round. I know you don't, but I have to ask, you know, as 2013 champions, what do Middleton, you know, what will represent a successful championship for this year? The ultimate goal, I imagine.
Ah, yeah, sure, that's a great question to ask, you know, a senior hurling manager from any club in Cork. I suppose for ourselves, if we can remain injury-free and progress along the championship step by step, we'll be happy with that. The longer we keep hurling, Lisa, the better for the club, because we have a massive underage structure in place, being run very well by our underage committees, led by Cormac Quirk. We have a massive committee involved at senior level. We have a very progressive club. We launched a blueprint there recently for the development of the club over the next 5 years. And, you know, the longer your flagship team is in a championship, it generates more interest at underage and it keeps all the young people involved. Like, our Camogie club is developing very well under the stewardship of Dennis Kelleher. Our ladies football club is now developing well under the stewardship of Paddy Cochran. So, like, I think we'll be judged on how long we stay in the championship, and I think that will feed the needs of the people in the other areas of the club as well. So that's what we're looking for, a good long, you know, stay in the championship this year, a competitive stay, create a bit of excitement for our community, and, you know, that's what we're looking for, really, like.
That's Middleton boss there, Jerry Wallace, speaking to us ahead of their game against Killa. That is in Castle Marcher tomorrow at 3:30. Now, it gets underway this evening. Two games this evening. The Pearsheik taking on Youghal in Cloyne in about 5 minutes' time. And at 7:30, Bride Rovers take on Bishopstown at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And also tomorrow in the Senior Football Championship, we will have Carbery Rangers versus Clyde Rovers at Coachford. So the championship's really in full swing this weekend, Lisa.
Absolutely, that's a big one tomorrow in the football. All right, in round two, a surprise shock defeat for Carbery Rangers, last year's beaten finalists. Looking forward to the action this evening. I'm heading over to Páirc Uí Chaoimh after the show for the Bishopstown match, and looking forward to that. Then tomorrow, Mark Dynan's down as a doubleheader in for Moyfer, so we'll have all the reaction from there on tomorrow's show as well. So big weekend of action, some really good games, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll have all the reaction on tomorrow evening show. Crystal Palace are doing their best to ruin the Stephen Gerrard farewell tour game final stop at Anfield Lark. They're 2-1 up and they hit the bar. Yannick Bolasie smacking cracking effort off the crossbar. Liverpool have 20 minutes to make sure that Stephen Gerrard's game,
they'll do it.
Last
this is what's happening. Yeah, this is what happened. It's setting us up for a disappointment. Somebody will get a goal and then Stevie G will get the winner. And because I've said it now, I've given it the commentator's curse,
yeah,
and it's never going to happen.
Probably not going to happen. Cork teaming will have gone a goal up away to Limerick. Carl Shepherd, who's in a rich vein of form, has gotten the goal there for City. Just coming
nice
up
one.
On half an hour gone there at Jackman Park. We'll have reaction on that game on tomorrow evening's show. That is it from us. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way this evening. Thanks to all our staff today at Irish Independent Park for helping us with our broadcast for that Munster game today. Cracking win over the Dragons, securing a home semi-final for the Reds. We've got that to look forward to at Thomond Park next Saturday, thanks to that superb Munster performance. 8 tries and all, absolutely fantastic stuff. Right, we're back tomorrow from 6 p.m. Stevie G's up next. Enjoy your evening, folks.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here. Red FM.